Ready to redefine your talent strategy? Let's make Redefine the word of the year for your success. Introducing RAS, Recruitment as a Service. Outsource your talent strategy with the O'Connor Group. Our four-tiered approach is crafted to align with your business, whether you're launching a startup or leading a thriving corporation. Our cost-effective solutions are designed to elevate your business and enhance your people strategy, ensuring scalability and strategic growth. Redefine your recruitment strategy with RAS.
Hey everybody, it's Marcia O'Connor here with Shadowherd Podcast, and welcome to all our listeners out there and knowing more about shadowherd.org and so many great things. And on this podcast, we have great guests who have basically run their own business, and we go through what they've gone through and their backgrounds a little bit in detail. But the idea behind Shadowherd is just believe that you can do this, and you can. And so with that, I want to welcome my next guest, Donna Dorinsky. She is founder and CEO of Just In Time, and it's an amazing story. So Donna, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Marcia. It's great to be here.
It's love always having you. We always have such fun conversations. So you have a unique background. You did not start basically as a CEO. You started as a nurse, and you basically sort of moved your way into all this. So let's go back to being a nurse. And why did you want to become a nurse in the first place?
Yeah, you know, Marcia, I wanted to be a nurse. I remember since the time I was 14 years old, and my dad made me volunteer at the hospital to make sure I really wanted to do it. And I did. My parents were both had their own businesses, so I knew I didn't want to do that, right? I had lived that lifestyle, so there was no way I was ever going to own my own business. So I chose to go to college for nursing. Mm-hmm. I did a really cool, back then we had what we called a 2+2 program. So I went to Gwynedd Mercy University.
Got it.
It's a small college here outside of Philadelphia. So I was actually working as a nurse after 2 years. So I was an ER nurse, and I very quickly realized I wanted to be an emergency room nurse. That was just my calling. I just worked well under pressure. And so I did that for a little while and really enjoyed it. And then originally my goal was that I wanted to be vice president of nursing by my 30th birthday. So it wasn't good enough that I would be a vice president of nursing. I needed to do it by my 30th birthday, which, you know, we talked about planning a minute ago before we started, and it's, we can plan all we want, but things don't always work out that way. And along the way, I realized that I didn't think that the politics of hospitals was really where I wanted to spend my career. And so that's when I decided to try pharma. I saw an ad in the Inquirer, so literally Sunday afternoon, laying on the floor looking for a job, saw an ad in the newspaper for this research nurse administrator, and it kind of checked all the boxes. I had just finished grad school, loved research, was obviously a nurse, and I knew I wanted to do some kind of leadership. And so that's kind of how I ended up transitioning from being a nurse in the emergency room in the trauma area and moved into clinical pharmacology. And I still worked as a nurse in the pharma. I actually worked in a phase one unit where we took care of research subjects. So I did get that continued reward of being a nurse for quite a while.
That's awesome. And I think people don't realize that. I think they pick a career and they think they're going to be stuck in that world. And I always tell people, like, you know, nothing has to be ever stuck. Mm-hmm. That's basically your mind telling you that you have to be stuck. But you did something different and moved it into basically the pharma side of the house. And then what came next?
So I spent 15 years in drug development with GSK. Had the opportunity to actually see drugs go from first time in human to market, which is not something a lot of people see in their career, to just have that journey of developing a drug from the beginning, really right on through to market launch. And so during that time, just really grew my skills in understanding how drug development works, the compliance world, how to go through an FDA inspection. I had more than my share of FDA inspections, which really gave me a lot of experience on just how to manage those inspections. And then I spent a year doing a big business justification for why they should continue with their phase one unit in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And we did an amazing job. I learned so much about modeling, financial modeling, and working with consultants. And at the end of the day, we made a really good business case for why they should keep us closed or keep us open. And then they met and they decided to close our department. And as I look back, I think it was a really good business decision. That's where industry was going. It, you know, it made sense, but it left about 75 people without jobs. And so we had to either repost for jobs in the company or find other jobs. And to be honest, I had a team. So of those 75, 50 of them worked under me, because at that point I was kind of leading the phase one program. And I spent a lot of time trying to make sure that they had the right jobs for them, that they were going to, you know, land on their feet. And I woke up one morning, I'm like, you know what? I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. And so I decided that it was time to take a little time off. I had done, you know, I'd done the hospital, the 3 to 11, the 11 to 7. Then I had gone into pharma and been traveling internationally. And at this point, we had two boys who were 18 months and five. And I thought, this will be a great time. I could just be a stay-at-home mom for a little while, you know, just enjoy the time with them. And so I decided to just finish out with my job and then just to leave and just kind of take a little break. And the plan was I would go back to GSK. I had to wait a certain amount of time after I left, but then I would go back and potentially work in vaccines group or, you know, where a lot of my team had gone. Mm-hmm. And after 3 weeks, I sat at the kitchen table and I cried, because I think I'm a great mom and I am not a great stay-at-home mom. And I felt really guilty, because I was like, I feel like I need something more. Right. And just like it always happens, is just at that time, I got a phone call. I had been teaching at Drexel in their clinical trial management program. They had a CROM program that I had been teaching classes at. And they called me because they wanted to write a course for the medical students to take. So that they would start to get their exposure to clinical research in med school.
Right.
Very passionate for me, because that was something that I believed, you know, we really weren't doing a good job of preparing people to work in clinical research field back then, right? So right. You did it as kind of a second career.
Yep.
Not too many people just went into clinical research. So I thought, what a great way to get to the medical students at the beginning. So I wrote the curriculum for it and was super excited. And then I was like, wow, this is kind of fun. I kind of like being a mom and I kind of like working too. And so I started to just do some consulting. I worked for a CRO for a little while, helping them with their phase one unit, right? So the company, the sponsor base phase one was progressing to a CRO phase one. So I started to do some compliance consulting, some process consulting. And after about 6 months, my husband said to me, he's like, hey, you know what? Like, you're making a go of this. Like, you're actually working, but it's working out great with the kids. You know, what do you think? Do you want to start a business? And I said, well, I'll start a business because it makes sense for taxes, but please understand, I don't want to run a business. Like, I live I'm sorry. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah. So famous last words, Donna.
I'm never doing this. And even when my dad sold his business was called Medco. And he's like, do you want me to keep the name? I said, stop. I am not owning a business. Like, you all need to go away, because that is not my gig. I don't want that. And so when, you know, people talk about this a dream of starting a business, I can't say that I had a dream. I actually think what I had was an entrepreneurial spirit that just couldn't be tied down. I really think that that's what it was. And it was a desire to have a vision and have the opportunity to make that vision a reality. So I really think that that's why ultimately I had to succumb to the entrepreneur within me. And it's been a long journey. That was back in 2005. The boys are finished or finishing college. So my life has certainly changed over that time. But I've enjoyed every step of the journey, the good and the challenging. But that's kind of how I move from, I don't want to ever be anything but a nurse, to, hey, how about I run a company?
And so just in time got started. How did it get started? It was like, oh, okay, we have a potential business here. Walk us through that.
Yeah. So it really started with my network. I call her my angel, Allie Craig Rodriguez. She actually gave me my first true consulting project. She took a chance on me because I had known her from my pharma days. Mm-hmm. And she was implementing a clinical system, and she called me. She's like, I've been trying to find you for 6 months, which is kind of funny, right? Today, that would never happen. She just would have gone on LinkedIn and be like, hey, Donna, where are you? But back then, we didn't have LinkedIn. We didn't even have cell phones. Like, it wasn't like she even had my cell phone number. She had my work number, and that no longer existed. And so she had to find me. I'm trying to remember exactly how it happened, but I think I might have had her business card and I called her. And actually, I was listening to your podcast you had done, Marcia, over the weekend. And I remember you saying, I never leave a business card on call. Like I always, if I take the business card, I call them back, right? So I had Ellie's business card. And so I called her and I ended up doing a project. And honestly, it was the catalyst for the business. And for about 5 years, I could trace every single client back to that phone call with Allie, right? So Allie brought me in to do that system implementation. Then her company decided to build out a CRO. So they had me write the business processes for them. So then the woman I met there left and went to another company. And that client is still my client today. So all these years later, that one client still connects back to the company. So that's kind of like my, that's my angel client because Then, you know, I would work for people at that company and they would leave and go someplace else. And then they'd call me where they got. So when it's funny when clients call me and tell me they're leaving, I'm like, yay, where are
you going? New client.
Exactly. And that's really how my business grew is just people telling people, and even to this day, so many of our clients come through either they've worked with me in the past or, you know, they've met me at a conference or something like that.
That's so great. I call that, we have a tier two called my alumni network. And I actually have some amazing alumni, but they're all clients, you know, and then they also, they're my great mini marketers. They do the best thing I need more people. They're like, I know exactly where you should go. And then they refer people over to us. So to me, I'm always, you know, we lose about 20% a year because of what we do, because we hire really good people. And then my clients want my people. Which is always painful. I hate losing anybody, but I try to stay in contact with all of them and have like alumni events for them to come out every year because they really are your best new client coming down the pike. So, which is really cool. So you grew really fast, but you had clients on board before everything happened in 2020. And then what happened after 2020?
Yeah. So we actually were 18 employees and we were 18 1099s in 2018. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got a little nervous because I was like, okay, this isn't really safe. So that's when I converted them to employees. And so I had been building my employee workforce from 2018 to 2020. So when the pandemic hit, it really wasn't a major impact on us in terms of how we worked. Mm-hmm. The biggest challenge, because we're virtual, all of our employees are virtual. We have a small bricks and mortar office outside of Philadelphia, but for the most part, we have a huge workforce in Kansas City, North Carolina, New York, New Jersey, Boston, or Massachusetts, like that whole area. And so it was really a matter of helping our employees pivot from I work at home to I work at home and take care of my family. And that was a really big challenge for us is helping them have flexibility. So that they could homeschool their kids and they could, you know, realize that now their spouse was home too, and they had to find a place in a very small house where everybody could work. And that sometimes people did conference calls with one of their children sitting on their lap. And that just kind of became just part of our culture that was acceptable. So that I'm a huge believer in women. Somebody once said to me, Donna, you can't have it all, right? You can't be a mom, a wife, a daughter, a mother, and an employee. You just like, you can't do all, you can't have everything at once. And I remember I looked that person in the eye and I said, well, just watch me. And I really feel like I did, right? I didn't do it all at the same time. I think I was I made my priorities, my kids and my business. And I have an amazingly supportive husband who has stood by me through every crazy idea I've ever had. In fact, he retired from the healthcare finance. He took early retirement. And I let him have 6 weeks off. And then I handed him a laptop and I said, guess what? Our books are a mess and that's your gig. So I need you to clean it up. And oh, by the way, you now have a job. And he works for me today. We work side by side. He's our director of finance. So he handles all the money. And I think, you know, it was really about finding creative ways of doing things. You know, I did conference calls in the car as I drove my son to New York because he played hockey. And so we had a trip in Boston for the weekend. And so he knew how to answer emails. He knew how to respond to texts. He could log me onto conference calls. He honestly organically learned about the business because he was there while I was doing calls. Or, you know, I did calls from the parking lot of a baseball field. Or I remember my son, it's not funny, my younger son broke his arm at a baseball game and I was in the parking lot on a phone call. So I didn't even know the kid broke his arm, right? But, you know, somehow he forgave me and I was there to get him to the emergency room. after I had dinner. And then, you know, that's your kids, they learn to adjust. And so as a result, you have flexible adults who know how to be supportive of a working woman. And that's something that I'm really, I really tried to do is instill in the boys that, you know, it is harder for a woman because you are trying to be a mom and trying to be the homeroom mom and make sure you make it to every baseball game and all. And that's just really hard to put that pressure on yourself.
Oh my God. And we're going to talk about that really quick. We're going to take a quick break right now and talk to one of our sponsors. But in the meantime, you know, we're going to hear more about Donna and her amazing growth journey and being a mom and having a spouse working with her and so much more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ready to redefine your talent strategy? Let's make redefine the word of the year for your success. Introducing RAS, Recruitment as a Service. Outsource your talent strategy with the O'Connor Group. Our four-tiered approach is crafted to align with your business, whether you're launching a startup or leading a thriving corporation. Our cost-effective solutions are designed to elevate your business and enhance your people strategy, ensuring scalability and strategic growth. Redefine your recruitment strategy with RAS.
Welcome back, everybody, to Shadow Her Podcast. I'm Marcia O'Connor, your host, and I am so lucky to have Don Doronczynski, the founder and CEO and mom extraordinaire, so much more with Justin Time. And we were just talking about primarily her journey and then having her husband come on board and being a good mom and what that all takes and can I have it all? And, you know, and as an entrepreneur, as a female entrepreneur in particular, we all say, yes, we can. And we make it happen. But, you know, you had tremendous growth. You went from, you know, obviously so many people 1099s, I think it was 16 or 18 you mentioned, and then it went explosion after 2020. And here you are with over 100 now. So talk us through basically the challenges that you are facing through that.
Yeah, so I was very fortunate. You know, the pandemic did horrible things for a lot of people. It was a learning experience for every one of us. I don't think anybody came out of the pandemic and didn't learn an awful lot. Mm-hmm. Because we were in the pharma world, we certainly had opportunity, right? There was a lot of drug development during that time. And, yep. And we had inspection readiness was one of our core deliverables. And so putting in place teams to help these drug companies with developing their assets was a great business opportunity. It really was. And I was fortunate enough that I was able to take advantage of it. But, you know, as you get clients, you need to get employees. And so we really needed to bring a lot of employees on board rather quickly. And you know, I thought it would slow down, but it hasn't. So very fortunate for that. We kind of grew in buckets, like, you know, add 20 people. Okay, survive. Add 20 people. Okay, survive. I found that 50 to 80 and 80 to 100 were the hardest, right? Like I would go up, down, up, down, up, down. I would slowly work my way up. And then I hit 80 and it was flat for a while. And then all of a sudden, and we were at 80 for like a year. And I was like, okay, we can't seem to get to 100. We can't seem to 100. And then I woke up one morning and we were at 110. Wow. I'm like, how did that happen? Now, some of it happened intentionally because I realized that it was really hard to find qualified people who could do what we did. I mean, there were certainly people out there, but we were trying to, you know, people would join us and be like, yeah, I've done this before, but not like you guys do it. Like we definitely have a very standard approach to what we do and how we do it. And so we decided to start a program. And I had the vision about a year and a half ago, and it took us a good year to build out. But I wanted to hire people who were second career people, people who were doing other jobs, who just, it wasn't working for them and they wanted to make a change. And they need to be a certain type of individual, right? They had to be flexible. They had to be willing to learn. They had to be detail oriented for the type of work. But we hired an individual who works for us who developed a training program. And so we took several months to develop this training program and find and hire the right core team. And so we hired a group of individuals to come in and basically learn our business from the ground up. And that's because that was a little bit of that big growth we had at the end of last year is bringing that team on board. And I think the culture changes as you grow through each phase, right? So the culture we had with 18 employees doesn't look anything like the culture with 115 because it can't.
Right.
I don't have the time to have the involvement.
Mm-hmm. It's very different.
Yeah, I think that especially just, I used to be a very hands-on, and I still try to be. I do this thing called Dishing with Donna. I always say it's my favorite part of the week. And I meet with five employees and we just talk, like we just chat. It's not business at all. It's like, where do you live? What do you do? You know, what's fun in your world? What's your challenges? And then I ask them three questions. What do you love about your job? And want me to make sure that we don't change. What do you find challenging about your job and you wish I knew and I could fix? And then ask me anything you want. Ask anything you want. Like, what do you want to ask me? I'll answer any question. And through those three conversations, I've really been able to make some changes that I think has impacted the employees. So I've tried to still keep my contact with the employees. And it's challenging, right? Throughout the country. I haven't really traveled a lot to employee events. Every time I try to do an employee event, we have some kind of a flu outbreak or people are sick. And so it gets kind of challenging, but just still trying to keep that involvement with the employees. I do quarterly town halls, if you will, where we kind of just present some of the successes of the past quarter. And then, we try and bring our managers together on a regular basis so they can at least spend some time with me. So different things we've tried. We also did an emerging leaders program, which I think has really been a huge success for us. And that was trying to develop our leaders from within the company. Mm-hmm. We had three people complete it. We have five ones in it this year. And even from, we have modules. So even from the start of module one to the end of module one, I really saw a change in these people. Like, it was really exciting. Like, they're empowered to be leaders in the company. And sometimes all you have to do is tell people, hey, it's okay to do this.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to. It sounds like you have a lot of communication. You have a lot of stuff. Growth was really quick and fast and all. You probably put a lot of changes in place and all. What's still the one thing that's missing because of all the rapid growth?
I was trying to do two different, I've been trying to do a lot of jobs over the years, but I've been lucky. I've been able to bring people in to help me, like O'Connor Group, to help me with the human resources until I could get my own human resources person in place. But I was doing operations and I was doing CEO, and there is a very different, the CEO role is not an operations role. And so trying to do both. Oh, like anything, when you try to do two jobs, it's hard to do both jobs well, right? You can't be good at two things at the same time like that. They're so different, right? CEO is so strategic, so visionary. And then operations is actually executing on it. And so we recently hired a COO. And I think that was a big piece of what was missing us. So Brian Guzzo joined us at the end of the year. And it really just completed out my executive team. So I have HR, I have Alicia in HR, I have Greg doing finance, I have an amazing leader in our consulting and innovation and partnership. And so really by building, trying to take some of the pressure off of Ashley Bates, who is now in that role, and bringing in a COO to kind of do the operational execution of the vision, I kind of feel like now we're ready to go. So now I can be out there in the world, the face of Just-in-Time GCP, which honestly, Marsha, that's what I love, right? That's my passion. It's my third child. So I get to go out there and promote my third child and really just build our branding as a company.
Yep.
And my branding as a leader.
Yeah, you have to do that. You don't realize, like when I started you in EOS and we had to write down the accountability as to like where everybody stood and how many hats did I wear. And when I first did this in 2016, I was wearing five hats in the company. Mm-hmm. And my implementer, the great, amazing Hank O'Donnell, had said to me, your job is one hat. And how long is it going to take you to get to one hat? And I told him, I said, well, I'm going to say 5 years. So each year I tried to take off one of those hats and hired yes. somebody to do that for me and to train them and get them moving. And now I literally wear one. I would say I'm almost there to one. And because I have some big plans where I want to go out there and be more visible. I think I already am, but it's really hard. And I think you realize that too, because you get pulled back into the business yes. quite a bit. And I always tell people, you got to be working on the business, not in the business.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's that is a very true statement, Marsha. And you try. So we didn't implement EOS, but I kind of did implement that integrator visionary model. Mm-hmm. And I took the test and I'm a visionary with integrator tendencies, right? But my preference is visionary. And when I brought people in, I think when you hire people, they're always afraid you're not going to give up, right? Like, oh, they're not going to let go of this. And And my thing was, I'll let go of it when I see that you're ready to do it, right? I'm not going to just dump and run. I'm going to phase out my level of involvement. But I really feel like I'm at a place where I have all the right people in all the right seats that's really going to prepare us for this next phase of growth. We made 2023 a year of building our foundation. So our organic growth, for the most part, was just that. It was as we grow, we grow. We were not intentional about that growth, but we built this infrastructure, just having the systems in place, right? You know, a learning management system, having in place an HR management system, like all of those things, we're getting those all into place to support this next trajectory of growth, which I'm super excited about.
So awesome. I mean, I'm so excited for you. So yeah, what's on the horizon next for you? Because obviously you were also the winner of the 2022 EY Entrepreneur of the Year Award, and you received that. And like, that has opened up so many doors for you as well. So tell us more a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I will tell you, if there was a game changer for me, it was EY. I did not want to submit my name for it. So I was nominated. Carla Trotman, oh my gosh, amazing business leader in our community. And she nominated me. And actually, it was after breakfast, one of your founders' breakfast. Oh, she got me in the parking lot. She's like, you got to do this. And I was like, there's no way. Like, this is, I'm not going to do this. And I remember my admin, Carol, at the time, she said to me, you have to do this. Like, you can't not do this. So I was like, fine. It was just the exercise of doing it was amazing because, you know, you really had to think about like what was driving your vision, what was, you know, where your company was going. The experience was amazing. I will tell you, I sat at the awards in Philadelphia at the Kimball Center. It was towards the end of the pandemic. So it was 2022. And my son was with me and I said to him, I'm like, I don't belong here. He's like, stop. I said, no, there's amazing people here. Like, I don't belong here. He's like, mom, you got to stop with that. Like, you got to stop with the attitude. You do belong here. And I looked at him and I said, I don't even know what I would say if I won. And he looked at me and he goes, this is what you're going to say. And he like gave me this little speech that I was going to say.
Awesome.
And I kid you not, Marcia, the next name they called was my name. So I was like, okay, well, thank you, Kevin. And I get up there and I said, I have no idea what I said. I still haven't watched the video. They recorded it. And I still haven't watched the video. I know it's silly, right? It's almost 2 years later. But that moment, I realized that, you know what? I do belong here. We are doing really cool stuff. And it's just because the company receives accolades, just because I receive an accolade doesn't mean that the company isn't behind it. And I think for me, and I think so many women do this, right? They don't want to be out there saying how amazing they are. They feel like that humility is really important. But when you have a business, you almost have an obligation to put the business out there, right? To create opportunity, not just for you, but for all of your employees. And that's really how I started to look at it. So being a part of the EY community has been amazing. Being part of the, just meeting people like me, meeting people that have done way more than anything I could even dream of doing. Sheila McVale, her story is incredible. She was actually the EY winner of 2021, the all out winner. And I had the opportunity to have lunch with her. She actually invited me to lunch at the awards in 22, and just hearing her story. And when we were all done, we were both dealing with the same problems. Her problems were just my problems a little bit bigger. And she's been, you know, just a great connection for me to have. So the people I've met and the opportunity to be forward thinking, you know, you asked me what's next, definitely innovation. There's a lot that needs to happen with AI and innovation in the clinical drug development space. Mm-hmm. We're doing great things in discovery. We're using it in sales and marketing. But in the clinical development space, there's not a lot of AI being utilized. And so that's what's on the future for us, is figuring out how we can leverage AI to grow our business.
Yeah, I think that's basically like an open, like Pandora's box, right? You can open it and go down that deep, 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 deep hill. And like, where does it take you? But you definitely have to be on top of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you just saw the Vegas show, the CES, but some of the cool innovation ideas and products that are coming out, which are really phenomenal. And I don't think people are aware of like how techy everything is becoming around them. So it's pretty cool to see what's happening, which is really cool. So Donna, you do all this, you're growing, you're building, you're winning awards. How do you take care of you?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Marcia. It's not something I'm super good about because to be honest, I love what I do, right? I love going to work every day. I get excited about my job. Yep. I get excited about the vision. So in a way, growing the company is for me. I walk. I am a big walker. As you and I have shared, I'm a beach person. That is my place. I'm very fortunate when I get down to the beach. I do my sunrise walks.
Nice.
My younger son, he worked as a mate on a boat this summer down in North Carolina or South Carolina. And he and I would exchange sunrises in the morning. So we'd say good morning with our sunrises, but that was my time. My faith is really important to me. Mm-hmm. I always say like, I have no clue what I'm doing. So God, I sure hope you can tell me where to go next because it's all in your hands. Or when I get a problem, I'll be like, okay, I'm not really sure what to do with this one. So you got to send me an email or something, or let me know what I'm supposed to do next. But that's kind of my time to just kind of sort it out, to problem solve. My team knows I'm an early riser. So sometimes they'll get messages from me from the beach. I'll be like, hey, I've been thinking. And then that's when all these ideas will start to come out. So really walking and just spending time reflecting is for me, and travel. I do enjoy traveling. So that's a little bit of fun for me.
Yeah, you need to find out where's the creative coming from. It could be an open room. It could be a book. For me, it was walking during 2020. I did a ton of walking, but so many phenomenal ideas came out of that. You know, you have to figure out what that is, but you have to make sure you take time to do that. Otherwise, you can get so overwhelmed with work and all, and you just need some time, free time for you. So I always ask this question at the end of my shows. Do you read a book or do you use Audible?
So I am a reader. I am not so much an Audible. I do a little bit of podcasts. I do that, but I am definitely a reader. I love to read. I've loved to read since my mom was one of those. She'd be like, get your nose out of the book, put your face in the sun. And I'm very grateful today that I kept my nose in the book because it served me well as I aged. But yeah, I love to read. I read for just sheer pleasure. I love historical fiction. I love historical fiction about women. I do enjoy reading business books, but I find like if I'm going away, I'll take 5 books and 4 of them will be just like be done in a day, right? So I'll read a book a day. And then the 5th one is kind of like I call my business help book. Mm-hmm. I don't like to just read through them because I find then I don't pick up everything, all the details of it. So I read Ride of a Lifetime, which was a wonderful book. A lot of people know it's the story of Disney and Bob Iger, who's been the CEO of Disney twice now. And it was a really good book. And I read it over several weeks. In fact, I gave it to my dad, who's an avid reader. And I'm like, here's the deal. You cannot read this book in a day. Like you always do. Cause he reads a book a day. He's 88 years old. He's still working and he reads a book a day.
That's awesome.
Like you cannot read this book in a day. You have to read it over a series of days because you're going to miss the part of it. So the best text of 2023 was him sending me a picture of a page from the book and says, oh my gosh, you have to read this. This is amazing. And it was about how as a leader, you have to have a way of getting your vision to the people that work for you because you can't execute on your vision. But all the people that work for you are the ones that have the power for the vision. But if they don't fully understand that vision, then you're never going to achieve it. So to have my dad, you know, send me this picture of this book and be like, okay, Dad, you're learning. Like it was just so neat to share that with him because he'll, you know, he sends me boxes of books all the time. Oh. But it was really fun to share that book with him.
What a great thing to share with your dad too. Yeah. So all excited. Good memories to have.
He's my biggest business advisor. He and my mom, you know, both having had businesses, I still take things to them and, you know, hey, what do you think about it? It's helpful to have, you know, just having them in my arsenal of tools to help me.
Oh, it's so great. If only the younger 22 to 25 year olds would listen to the parents now, but you know, I think that someday they will and realize that we were actually not talking, you know, through our heads. We were actually giving them good advice, but it's always nice to get and good memories to have there too, for sure. Yeah. So with that, Donna, how do people get a hold of you too? Last question here.
So I'm on LinkedIn, Donna Dorozinski, Dorozinski. It's pretty easy to spell once you hear it out that way. And justintimegcp.com is our website. And thanks for having me, Marcia. This has been fun.
Oh, my pleasure, my dear. Always good to talk to you and always good to hear this positive, another female entrepreneur rocking it out there and doing great things because we have a lot of female entrepreneurs on here and probably having a good day or a bad day and realizing, should I be doing this? And hopefully realizing from us, yes, yes, you should be doing this. And for that, you know, the Shadow Her is all about empowering other females and working more in your operations and making that smooth so you can actually really focus it on your business. But, you know, for those out there listening, you know, help others out there, like us out there, if you can't mind forwarding us out there, but believe in you because yes, you can. So that's Shadow Her podcast for today. I'm here with Donna Dorazinski, from founder and CEO of Just In Time. Until next time, I'm Marcia O'Connor, your Shadow Her host. Hang in there, ladies. You got this.